Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Our music expert, it must be Friday morning, it's Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Very good. Very exciting day.
It is.
Taylor Swift. Her new album.
Dropped Reputation overnight on us.
It what?
She dropped the Reputation album overnight on us.
So you've moved on to using dropped over released.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. Oh. We drop.
Okay.
When it comes out as planned, it's released. When it comes out as a surprise, it's dropped.
But we all knew it was coming out at midnight last night.
Right. I mean, that's when we found out. You know, it was supposed to come out on the 17th.
I thought I heard yesterday. Well, whatever.
And then it popped out, you know, it popped out prematurely.
So do they do that?
Yes, they do.
So that everybody tweets about it.
They tell everyone it's going to be the 17th, and then all along they were planning on the 10th.
You know, sure. And there were certainly hints that would be the case. And, you know, and it's not the first time this is.
So we're being lied to even by Taylor Swift. I mean, you know.
You know, you can view it as being lied to or as being toyed with.
There's no way.
Many men in her life that she's sung about.
Yeah, it's just disheartening. Is she, I don't know, she hasn't lined this up to be a Veterans Day thing or anything?
Nothing like that. It's just, you know, it came out, and you know, it's even more of a pop album than 1989 was.
Wow.
You know, just much more, you know, it certainly sounds like anything you'd hear from Selena Gomez, Pink, Demi Lovato. It's definitely more in that camp than anything she's done before. And it's really, in some ways, it's a tale of two albums. You have the Swedish team of Max Martin and Shellback do about half the album, and then you have Jack Antonoff, who used to be in the band Fun. Now he has the group Bleachers, and his stuff is more of a, you know, poppy, new wavy, upbeat, dancey type of thing, whereas the Max Martin Shellback stuff is the very contemporary, you know, pop 2017 kind of sound.
So what's her bar for success on this one? How long does it have to last? How long does it have to be in our consciousness and have her release singles from it?
Well, it's got, you know, I mean, obviously it's got to take her through a tour, you know, throughout next year. So, you know, really, she, you know, you look at these as kind of two-year campaigns with her. It's already got 400,000 pre-sales. You know, even before it came out last night, apparently.
So it's available now. I can go to Apple and download it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And apparently, like 800,000 people have been trying to load it on iTunes, and iTunes crashed.
Now this album's not going to be streaming for a while.
It won't be streaming for a while. I heard a week. Now I've heard more than a week. She did this last time, too. She did this with 1989, and there's no secret about why. You know, you sell more out. You know, she wants to sell albums.
She's still not on Spotify, is she? She's just available on Apple.
Right.
Okay. And why is she not available on Spotify? What's the rub there?
They haven't cut the right financial deal.
So she'll do it when the money's right.
When the money's right, and I suspect it will be, you know, within a week or two, she'll be streaming all over the place. That's just my prediction.
Even on Spotify, you think?
Even on Spotify.
She yanked all her stuff a couple of years ago from Spotify.
They'll find a way to make it work.
I was heartbroken when I couldn't just listen to all my favorite Taylor Swift songs.
Well, with streaming having taken hold even greater than it has before, you know, all of them, but, you know, Spotify especially, is really vested in not having a situation where, oh, you guys don't have the hottest album. Maybe you're not the right site for me to have, you know, from its users. So it's, you know, I think they'll come to terms with her and get her on Spotify as well as everywhere else.
So is she going to be in a movie while she's on this campaign, or?
I don't think a movie. I mean, they're getting ready. You know, there will be a tour. It'll probably start in the spring, like she's usually done.
Well, she was in Scandal, right? Wasn't there a release of a song?
Last night, she premiered one of the songs on Scandal, and that's when it was Scandal, and then boom, right? When you know, right after the end credits rolled was when the album dropped.
And she won a CMA this week too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for co-writing the Little Big Town song.
Co-writing it.
Yeah,
okay, so Cheryl, Better Man with whom?
With some of the members of the band.
Okay.
You know, and it was she still has a toehold in that world. I think country will always, especially because she's so massively popular, country will always have a place for Taylor Swift. That was one transition she handled very well. You know, maybe unlike some of the transitions in her personal life.
Those personal tragedies have paid off big in songs on her albums, my friend.
This album's kind of more of her most positive one yet. You know, in terms of that, she's not. Yeah, she slays a few guys along the way here, but mostly these are songs about being in love.
Remember when Garth Brooks retired?
Yeah.
And now he's won the Country Music
Entertainer of the Year
for 2 years in a row now.
Right. Well, he's unretired.
Yeah.
You know, he did unretire. I think it's 4 years now, and he's just a massively popular touring act. I mean, he goes on the road. He does great shows. People love him. Last year he put out, what do we count? It was three or four albums he put out this time last year. He had a studio album. He had a Christmas album with Trisha Yearwood. He had a box set. I think there was something else. There's a live album that's going to come, like a live album and DVD. A lot of people expect that might be the Christmas surprise this year, that Garth will drop that. So, you know, when he retired, to his credit, he never actually said he was retiring. He just said he was taking time away, and he did. Again, to his credit, he raised his kids.
Did he get knocked for lip syncing at the CMAs?
Yeah. He fessed up to it.
I kind of thought everyone lip synced at
a lot of them do
award shows.
Yeah, a lot of them do. Some of them do. You know, they do their performance live. But in Garth's case, he lip-synced it, and so did a lot of them.
All right. What else about the CMAs?
I thought it was a really nice show. That tribute they did at the beginning to the shooting victims with "Hold My Hand," the Hootie and the Blowfish song was a lot of fun. The Eddie Gentry tribute was, I shouldn't say fun for a tribute, but I thought it was moving. The Eddie Gentry tribute was moving. You know. Winners and losers are winners and losers. You can say what you want. I don't know if you saw two things that late night TV did with the CMAs that I loved. One was the Jimmy Kimmel having them all do the mean tweets.
Oh yeah, right. Where they read things that people have tweeted about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool.
I think my favorite tweet that somebody read on Jimmy Kimmel was when Emma Stone read one that somebody said she. Said, I bet Emma Stone smells like cat urine.
Yeah. Those are great. But, the country ones were a lot of fun. And then last night, Stephen Colbert just took apart Keith Urban, this new song, Female, that he did. He just took it apart. And, yeah, it is kind of a, I mean, it's a, his heart's in the right place, but his pen was not.
How were Carrie and Brad during the awards?
They're fine. They're so dialed in. You know, they do a great job. A little surprising there, they had during their opening set, this song that was written before he tweets, which was a bit of a bash on the president, which you don't usually see at country award shows. I mean, and it was very lighthearted. But there was still an edge to it that did make you sit up and say, ooh, this is not where Nashville goes. So that was a big surprise. But they're dialed in. They have great chemistry. You know, after what is this, their fourth or fifth year?
90th year in a row, I think.
It feels like it, though. It feels like they're George and Gracie or Lucy and Ricky at this point. So they do a great job.
All right, Nickelback did something so everybody hates it, right?
Of course, they're going to be in Vegas. Not a bad move for them in that especially, the album tank, the new album. They're going to do five shows at the Hard Rock Cafe February and the beginning of March. And we'll see if this is something that jumpstarts anything or if they end up spending more time there. I doubt it. I don't, you know, it's a lot different being Nickelback than even being like Def Leppard and Kiss.
All right, we're late, so what's our final story? You pick.
Final story that I get to pick, you know, Taylor Swift almost sucks up all the air, but Jimmy Buffett has announced the, oh, no, I'm going to jump to this, Paul Buckmaster. We should note his passing this week. A lot of people might say who, but this is the guy who did the string arrangements for David Bowie's Space Oddity and for Elton John's Levon? Yeah, and Elton John's, you know, Levon and Tiny Dancer and so many. He also did Guns N' Roses, the Rolling Stones, Stevie Nicks. He did the last Chris Cornell album. Just a genius guy, and probably if you had a dollar for every album credit that this guy's on, you'd be able to pay off your mortgage and a couple of your neighbors. I mean, he was that prolific and really that good. He died on Tuesday at the age of 71. They haven't said why yet.
All right,
we will then talk then next week.
All right, we'll go listen to your Taylor Swift album. Enjoy it.
I will be doing it.
All right, Gary, thanks. Gary Graff, our music guy, you get him on Friday mornings.